Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face.
All right. It either already happened or they're not doing that. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, I get you.
Or this is just like a cattle operation and we have no clue what's going on, like, as far as, like, I'm not talking about three-dimensional density, but, like, anyway, you get what I'm saying. You probably don't get what I'm saying.
I mean, I get you.
Yeah.
You know what else I get?
That this is, what do you get?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gozer Podcast, episode 385. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Reed. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. What's up, boys? How you doing?
That was hard to do.
Good. It's fucking Saturday.
Saturday afternoon. Yeah. Well, it's Saturday weird. Evening now.
It's weird being here. I don't like it.
I feel like we're like intruding on
like family life.
Yeah, on your family life.
It's not too bad, dude. I had yesterday off, so you know we had a little extra time.
I feel like your family's intruding on the show, bro.
They are. They are.
Isn't there somewhere they could go?
Yeah, could you guys go somewhere, please?
Yeah. It's fucking rude.
I know, I agree.
Like, how often are we here?
Once a week.
Can they not be here?
Can they go somewhere? Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, speaking of going somewhere, went somewhere.
I did go somewhere. I went to Charlotte, North Carolina this last week.
Why?
For a training for work, and it was a nightmare. The training was fine. Traveling was a nightmare. I hate flying on a plane. I hate it. I hate it.
You can't do it now.
I can't do it. 6 hours, 7 hours of life just gone. Sitting in a fucking in a metal tube. I'm out.
Was this your first time in that state?
Yes.
How's it look?
It was fine. Like? It was fine. Full of racist people, so that's cool.
Woodlands and racist people.
Totally.
That's I out of compulsion I want to say dope, but not dope.
But not so dope. No. Truthfully, North Carolina was fine. Titty Bats was in town at the same exact time, so I got to hang out with Titty Bats.
Is that the P.D. Pablo one? North Carolina.
Probably.
Okay.
Titty Bats and his girlfriend, I won't say her name because I don't know if she wants her information out on the internet, but she's lovely. He's lovely. It was great to fucking meet them both, and I'm stoked to consider them friends.
I'm impressed because you never say anyone's girlfriend is lovely. Ever. Your whole thing is to just slam people's...
Is that what I... Is that what I'm known for?
No. It was a good subversion of
everything.
It was a really good
time. We had dinner together, had a few drinks. We hung out for like 3-4 hours, which was weird because I can't stand most people for that long. And it was cool.
Well, and for anyone who is not aware, Titty Bats is an artist. And he's, you know, check out his Instagram page.
Yep.
At Titty Bats, right?
It's at Titty Bats. Yeah,
he's blown up, like 120,000 followers or something.
Yeah, so he was when like the lowbrow art community was really into pins and whatnot, he was like one of the first ones that was doing it. So
he's an innovator, dude.
Speaking of which, we were talking about like, because he's shifted mostly now to doing t-shirts and like clothing. And he was kind of intelligent enough to see the transition away from pins a couple few months before it started to happen. So he started like making t-shirts and hasn't made much pins in the last like, you know, couple years. Smart guy.
I was thinking about that. The pin trend is like dead.
It's largely gone.
It's really gone. Yeah. Yep. I haven't cared. I used to go to like a pin convention in San Diego with all these artists and buy cool little things. And I'm like, I don't care anymore. I mean, it's cool to have the ones I have, but
I feel the same way. I love the pins that I have now because it was like, it's kind of like a history of the show for the last like handful of years. But yeah, man, I'm glad that he was able to.
Well, that's the thing about trends, dude.
They trend in and they trend out.
They don't last. But you know, clothes is not a trend,
right? That's what that's what we're talking about, right?
You get arrested without them.
He can infinitely,
even if you don't need them, you get arrested if you don't have them.
He can infinitely sell t-shirts. You know, you've got to wear them. Like, yeah. A pin on a board isn't going to wear out, but a t-shirt that says "Lick My Pussy" is going to wear out at some point, right?
Yeah.
So he's, you know, smart dude.
I bet the pin, like everything, the pins will come back.
Maybe. But anywho, great dude. Lovely people.
And your pool's going to be ready to go?
The pool is supposed to be done next week. So by... not by next episode, but the following episode, we'll have been swimming. Hopefully.
That's impressive. As far as like...
We're gonna learn Jacob how to swim.
Yeah. It's kind of impressive how fast that happened. I feel like I hear all the nightmares of... like contractors just not finishing the job, and that's taking months and months. But this was pretty straightforward.
We have been super fucking fortunate with our pool contractor. It is, I think, we are at 5 weeks, and that's fucking unheard of.
Yeah,
that is fucking fast.
It's super fast. Like, it's 90. They tell you 90 days as like a blanket. Like, hey, it could take this long, but.
Because they just don't want to get shit if it ends up taking that long.
Right. Yeah. What ended up happening is the reason why our pool is being completed so quickly is they were in the middle of a dig that was the pool that was in front of us, and they hit their septic tank. So that's a full stop. They have to stop because they can't mess around with septic tanks because that's poop. And so we got put in front of them, which was great. So super stoked.
Dude.
Yeah.
What's going on with you last week?
Fucking, man. Finally.
Fucking a man, dude?
Yeah, fucking, man.
Damn, how was it?
Yeah.
Who did what? What?
Diablo 4 finally simmering down, and I finally got back into my routine of watching movies. I'm excited to talk about that. Besides that, no, I just came back from a luau, but it's nothing. I mean, it's hosted by my parents, so
in
it's like.
In Hawaii, dude?
It's a very white. You know, luau, but it's like Filipino, Hawaiian, and Guamanian thing. It was for a family friend who graduated.
That's like
what's the difference admiration between any society. Of those, dude?
Yeah, it's just all good food, but and just good food and brown people.
Years ago,
is there lumpia there?
There was lumpia.
Then,
ponset,
you know, you're good.
You texted me Korean about Guamanians earlier this week, or not me, but us. And years ago when I was working overnight security and drinking all night and taking Vicodin, I was supposed to be doing it, like these rounds in a condominium complex, and this Guamanian couple invited me to come upstairs and continue drinking with them and smoke weed. So Guamanians, you guys are dope. As far as I know.
Hey, dude, you get smoked out, dude?
I got smoked out until dawn.
Jesus.
I didn't fuck. No one got any parking tickets that night. Nobody. And then like I went down there, and then I recognized that the car that was in the space from the apartment I just got on was like a Jeep, and it said Guam on it. And I'm like, there they are. So anytime I'm fucking driving.
No ticket for you.
When I'm driving, obviously I'm a sober guy now, but I'm driving, I see these Guam sticker, I'm like, I bet they'll smoke you out, bro. So Guamanians, they're good in my book.
All right.
Anyway, my experience with Guam.
That's good.
We should have asked. You see, you doing good.
We should have seen if you could bring us some food.
I should have asked. It's like, I didn't, you know, there's everyone brought all this food. I'm like, I gotta go.
That's
see
why
you.
I said bring it. I was being, bring it down.
Yeah. Oh, you literally, man, bring it down.
Yeah.
I had to do like an Irish goodbye. Like, it was super lovely. God. And I'm still in a food coma right now. And,
nice.
Yeah.
You had ponset and lumpia
and Korean barbecue, katsu chicken.
Oh,
tons of shit. I didn't even know what I was eating, but I just ate it.
Yeah.
And you know,
I don't blame you.
Pacific Islanders, they go hard with the food. That's
they
sure.
go they go
bring
hard,
like 10
dude.
Times more.
What are those fucking egg things? The egg things, they're eggs.
They're
but
called
the
eggs,
chicken
dude.
Is like formed.
Oh, it's balut.
That's not cool, dude. Ah, see you not doing good.
Yeah, that's gnarly. I think my dad ate it once. I would have fucked with that.
Thing,
Dad's
yeah.
very Philip. Yeah, super Filipino.
Yeah, it's like fuck with that. I would eat a whole chicken, not that. Right? That's me back when.
I'd eat the muscle, but never a chick.
It just is. It just
just pepper its little head.
Just rubs me the wrong way.
You crunch the beak, from what I've been told.
They didn't have that.
No.
That's like a delicacy, huh?
No, that's something. I think you probably have to go to the Philippines for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
They look down
would
on that.
Would that be considered
here.
Cruel in the U.S.?
No, I think you still can. You probably go to some.
You can markets. Eat a fucking chicken, so you, yeah. You should be able to eat a fucking
baby chicken.
Baby chicken.
I mean, you eat a neonatal chicken.
Exactly.
Yeah. I go to those Asian markets where you just like, I want to buy like a severed cow head, you know what I mean? And you can, like, they just have everything, all the exotic meats.
Man, the gnarliest shit. Thing I've ever seen food wise was I took a trip to Mexico City fucking ages ago. I was maybe like 16, 17. Oh,
que chilango.
Wow.
Oh, sorry.
And in Mexico City, they have these like multi-floor like food markets where, you know, they have, you know, just people cooking food and selling it and whatnot. And one of the most fucked up things I ever seen was they were like live slaughtering pigs in a corner, and they would have like, you know,
the hustle and bustle of the marketplace.
Well, yeah, so they'd have these pigs like strung up, oh, and they'd gut them,
goddamn,
let them bleed out, and then they'd literally put the carcasses into a big vat where they were making like, you know, whatever random shit out of a pig that you could get. It just was like, that's fucked up, man. And I, you know, it's one of those deals where I didn't eat, I still don't eat pork very often, but pork was like, I'm gonna not eat pork for a little
you're
bit.
You're like, that kind of ruined Autobata for me for a second.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yep. But you know what I'm in? Again, bacon, thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of pork belly with Filipinos. I'll eat a lot of that.
Well, you were talking about you watched more things instead of playing Diablo. What'd you watch?
Oh, yeah, I know. So I finally had a chance to watch more. And one, I watched Stephen King's, I don't know, his name's in the title, Stephen King's Boogeyman.
Okay, what'd you think?
Oh, Jesus.
It's very middling. My girlfriend gets very scared easily. So, you know, she had a great time, got very scared. There's some, the monster design is pretty rad. I like to kind of remind me of Smile in some scenes, like with the big kind of close up reveal.
Don't say it, dude.
Ogre? Yeah.
What? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it was okay. It's I don't know.
It must be pretty cool being like a horror movie fan and being scared easily.
I wish.
I would love to have that.
Yeah.
I still do every once in a while, but
that would come in handy.
Certain genres. Yeah, like Asian horror films, they still freak me out. I don't know, some about that stuff. But this movie, monster movies with a creature that does nothing to me other than, you know, some jump scares here and there. The acting was fine. I had that one, because I haven't seen Yellow Jackets. It has a chick from Yellow Jackets and Boogeyman.
The blonde chick.
Yeah.
Or
so,
whatever color her hair is in this.
Yeah, so she was great.
You know,
it's
kids.
Fine. I don't know, it's kind of forgettable. I don't even have much to talk about that. So, Boogeyman. I've started watching on Peacock Bupkis, the Pete Davidson.
Oh yeah,
semi-biographical satire on his life.
Who's the old person in there with him?
Joe Pesci. Everything he does semi-biographical because he can only be the one fucking character. Like, come on.
I feel like he's trying to like show like, hey, you know, I'm not the
asshole.
I've got
range, dude. I'm the guy from New York. How is Bupkis? How is Joe Pesci?
It's good. I can't stop watching him. Like five episodes in, it's Pesci is fucking insane in this movie. I like the fact that he's doing this comedy out of, you know, like, what, didn't he get dragged out of retirement from The Irishman?
Yeah,
and now he's just working with Pete Davidson playing his grandpa, and he's great. Edie Falco plays the mom. The first episode is him watching, this is a little small spoiler, but it's what sold me. It's him watching VR porn and then his mom walking in and him just coming all over his mom. And I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Grandma's boy 2.0.
Yeah. It's like full on. Yeah. It's the whole money shot and everything. It was like nuts. And then she's like still wearing the shirt.
Nuts.
And she's like, you didn't take off the shirt. He's like, no, it's fine. I just kind of wiped it off. It's all like soaked and stuff. It's so gross. And
it's like if you sneeze on somebody.
Yeah, there's a lot of cameos. What's his name? The insomnia guy. What's his fucking name? I forgot. I always forget his name. But that old Comedy Central comedian did Insomnia. And then you got Shane Gillis. A lot of comedians.
David Tell has
like a lot of cameos all over the place. Every episode. Simon Rex is in it. He's fucking insane in one of the
episodes.
Simon
Rex, that's a name I haven't Simon heard motherfucking of in fucking Rex. Ages.
Well, he's in that.
Red Rocket.
I never saw that.
Oh, you haven't seen that? Uh-huh. That's good. And his whole career like blew up. He's getting fucking movie deals like constantly now. And he's in this doing his thing, but he's insane and funny. And I love that. That's my little nightly watch now. After that, I watched finally, because it came out the same day Diablo 4 came out, I had no interest in it.
Of course.
But I finally watched it, and holy shit, Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh!
Yeah,
it's... Okay, I gotta see it.
Dude.
It's...
Well, yeah, what'd you
get? I was gonna watch it on the plane because it was available.
No,
I was
like, no, I'm not gonna do it. Fucking damn it. Not first watch on a
that's
plane.
That's what I mean. That's why I stopped. That's why I didn't watch it.
Don't be upset for a thing I didn't do. You can't be upset about a thing that I didn't do.
I'm really...
I stopped myself. I'm upset that you even said I was going to watch it on
No, I didn't say I was going to. I said it was available and I refused.
You know what you should watch on a fucking plane? Friends.
I watched Social Network for like the 18th time.
What?
Social Network for like the
18th time. Oh, yeah. Cool. That's a movie I could put on. Yeah,
cool. You're like in the air. You should have watched Up in the Air, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay, continue. All right, go on.
That's... it's no exaggeration. I think it's like a historical achievement in animation.
Jesus Christ.
It's got the world record of most animators on one movie.
Oh, I didn't
one know chase sequence sense. In Guggenheim that leads up.
Hey, that's my fucking job to interrupt with random shit. Fuck, rubbing my rhubarb, dude.
Right. It was just random noise.
That's music you listen to. That's
it wasn't even useful noise, man. Fucking,
I have my autistic soundtrack put on.
Oh my god!
So most animators in a single movie, and you were saying
that chase sequence like four years to make.
Oh, see, I'm glad you bring up that chase sequence.
It's phenomenal. And like even like the small things, like the Lego sequence, that's like 10 seconds. Like a 14-year-old made that over the summer for the film. And
yeah,
like,
they had an actual... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like magical.
Well, and if you want it to feel different than the rest of the movie, besides that it's Legos, have a 14-year-old make it. It'll feel completely different and go with the vibe of it's a completely different dimension.
I'm beating myself up that I didn't watch it on like the... IMAX or Dolby or something.
That's the one
button. And I was five minutes late. It's a 10-minute drive to the theater and it took me 50 minutes because some fucking homeless guy with a handgun was holding up a Vons.
Heyo.
And so I was late to my movie.
It's the kind of thing where you, like, you know, at a certain point you immediately feel goofy talking about how cool it is because it's going to be overexposed. Not the movie, but like the Hobie Brown character, like the punk rock Spider-Man dude, which is Daniel Kaluuya. And then, like, fucking Spider-Man 2099 is fucking dope.
Yeah, 9.0 on IMDb, which is, that's a hard thing to see. It's
unheard of.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Hundreds of thousands of votes.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
I can't even.
All right, I'm excited. I'll watch it with the kids.
Just watch it, and then we can talk about it more.
Dude, sure. Would you say it's better than the first? Well, it sounds like it's better than the
way
first
better. It's people are calling it like the Empire Strikes Back of this.
Well, and it has a cliffhanger ending, which is not.
Which, without spoiling that. That's one of the craziest fucking... I thought there was going to be like, all right, cool, we got like a half hour act, like final act, and they're like, no, cliffhanger. And I was like, my jaw fucking dropped. That was... It felt like a comic book that you're so engrossed in, and it says to be continued. And
it's like the purest essence of the comic
thing. It really is.
Like Phil Lord and Chris Miller, again, they have their little thing now before the movie. You saw that? Oh, because you were 5 minutes late. They have like their production company logo now, which is cool.
Ahead of the Marvel.
Yep. And then it says approved by the
That's big dick swinging right there.
It's about fucking time, dude.
And big pussy swinging too. Like, you know, whatever.
It's big.
It's big genitalia
swinging. Non-binary
swinging. Yeah, it's good. Speaking of big dick swinging, I finally watched JC's new movie.
Oh God! Yes, but let me brace myself.
Oh man,
brother, can I tell you I had a fucking great time with Avatar?
Oh,
holy shit!
At home too. That's good to hear because I haven't watched it at home yet.
I had such a great time with it, man. Like it never felt like, oh, it's just fucking like shitty fucking sequel. Like all of it felt super super earned. Everything is like, well, you like that shit? Yeah. We're gonna turn it up to fucking like 15.
Wait 30 minutes when we crank that.
The CGI is fucking second to none.
How stupid these Marvel movies look. Yeah. Look at Ant-Man.
The last hour felt like an actual horror film, and I was like, yes, dude. When Sully and what's her face were going like just taking out motherfuckers on the airship,
and Neytiri's fucking dope now.
Woo, dude! And they didn't do the stupid thing where they were like, "Well, we're gonna bring robots back, but bigger." Nah, dude, they had these cool little like sleek little like crab robots.
I can't fucking believe the production
design. Fucking believable. Super, super happy. I finally watched it. I
literally could not get to the goddamn theater in time. But wow, what a film.
Crazy, right?
Wow.
What'd you think of the, that was, it was a big fucking thing in the middle of the theater, midway through the movie, where they do the wailing sequence.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
It is.
The only criticism I have, and of course it's like, it has to, there's no way for them not to do it in this film. But these fucking kids, like, don't fucking, stop following each other into danger, you idiots. But they're kids and they're going to do their thing. But fucking loved it, dude. Great.
What did you think, speaking of the kids, what did you think of the human character?
Oh, Sigourney Weaver's. Oh, Spider.
Yeah. That was kind of,
a little cringy at points.
Right.
But
it wasn't enough for me to like get taken out of the
But
movie.
At the end of the day, like we've all had either cringy a friend kids. Or yeah. like a friend of a friend who was that little kid. I liked that they didn't over-explain Sigourney Weaver's like progeny is
we don't know yet
superpower stuff.
I love it
where
though.
It's just subtle, like she can fuck with like the sea.
She has a connection to this
very
to the
cool
source.
Very fucking cool. Yeah,
that was she's my favorite in the freaking Kiri. Is her name like that's and also because like Sigourney Weaver's visage is like recognizable through
it's
that.
It's super obvious, but it's great.
But it's a different character. Yep. It's like fucking you get the best of both worlds. Yeah. I like the. It's a very Cameron thing to do. Like, the bad guy is resurrected as a Na'vi.
Yep.
And it's like, why do that? But, like, again, like, I don't want to get too
consensual
here.
What was the level up going
to
be?
Well, and also the point is, like, to have the whole race swapping thing. Like, you're over here now. Now you're over here. Now you're over here. So, like, it keeps hitting on all those levels. Well,
even the, like, the sea people thing, like, could have been really goofy,
of course,
and really like, oh dude, you're just doing New Zealanders, like but it doesn't come across cringy, it doesn't come across like ham-fisted. The king of the sea people,
oh,
the Cliff Curtis guy.
Yeah, Cliff
dude,
Curtis,
so good.
Fucking yeah, when he even like nods, he's like,
yeah, yeah. Like, so great. Good. I loved it. Fantastic film.
Glad you liked it. I'm glad I didn't come in here and you were just gonna
just
trash
slander JC.
There's no way, no, because it's insane, dude. If you saw, if you know, I hope when part three comes out, which is gonna have the fire people.
Oh, the other thing we watched, we're continuing Silo.
Oh yeah,
which has been renewed for a second season.
That's on Apple, right?
Yeah, it's on Apple Plus.
That's a good sign.
Apple TV Plus. The only thing I'm wondering is, okay, so I've read the books. They are dragging. You guys haven't seen this show, but they're probably doing a 10 episode season, and where they're at right now, I'm like, there's no way they wrap up anything good. So I don't know what they're gonna do. It's still
this is Rebecca Ferguson, right? That show. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And it's good. It's fun. There's really interesting things going on, and the world they're building is really fun. But the novel, the three books move at such a quick pace. It's hard to see where they are able to wrap this up without being like, you know, one or the other, like either too long on one side or too short on the other. But we'll see.
Does it all take place in just that one chamber, this silo thing?
So far.
Okay.
Yeah, so far.
What's beyond the silo, dude?
That's the question, dude.
Mm. What is the Matrix, dude?
Dude, if you're fucking Andrew Tate, it's everything.
Oh wow! Oof. Good answer, man.
Hey, what about you, little homie? What'd you see?
First, I want to mention I saw Mateo. I saw Matthew, the previous host.
I'm sorry, who?
Matty Ding Dong.
Who?
He's a white nationalist.
Oh, now I know who you're talking about.
Now okay. I'm bad for hanging out with. No. No, he's not. Well, is he?
He might be. I don't know.
No, he's not. Not consciously, but that's the worst kind.
He hasn't proven that he's not.
Well, you can't prove
exactly
that you're not.
Exactly.
If you're white,
yeah, exactly.
You're fucked. You're like already one by default. You know, so you have to go against the grain just to insist. Like I have to make fun of white people just to insist. Like no, fuck
this,
white dude, people.
This song is perfect. When you're talking about Matt.
Do 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 do. Get some ice cream, bro.
Hey, name that song. Name that tune. That's The Entertainer by fucking Scott motherfucking Joplin.
The only Entertainer song that I know of.
I am the entertainer. And I know just what I do. That's Billy Joel. Oh, that's fucking dope that you like Billy Joel like you do.
I do like
that,
Billy
that's
Joel.
That's a special thing because it's not that common among people our age group, actually. Especially, that's not like Piano Man. That's The Entertainer.
Yeah, it is. That's a special song.
Okay. We went and saw, he invited me with him to go see this band, Zao, which is a metalcore band, and they're from the early 2000s.
Sounds like a bit of a mistake.
No, well, they started as a Christian band, and then they became not Christians, and it's kind of like they haven't been around for a while, and they came back, and they haven't played over here in like 20 years, and all that good stuff. And they had a real nasty vibe, and it was legit metalcore, and it was authentic, and it had a real hateful vibe. And so whatever they got, if they got Christ in their heart, and that makes them feel that way, good for you, brother.
Hey, brother.
It's not really my thing, but it was cool. They were intense live. The vocalist was really intense. The one that you said looked like your lesbian aunt, he was very intense live. You know, and I can see that, though. He does kind of look like a lesbian aunt at this point. You know, I mean, he could totally, because of his intensity, I would be very afraid. He's short. Like, I could probably take him, but if he was in a...
Take him in what manner?
Like
sexually?
Do you want me to take you? No. They were good. Uh-huh. They were good. And it was fun to see Matt. It was fun
doing
to see
good.
Matt. See you doing good. It was fun to see him outside of the show. They're from the East Coast. The band before, I got there right in the middle of the band before. They were called Body Boy.
Oh, you mean he's actually capable of going to shows?
Yeah.
Huh.
And everything was fine.
Huh.
There was no beef. We were all, the whole theme of the night was no beef, and it was great. And then, the band before was called Body Void, and cool name. They're from the Bay Area.
Cool name.
They have, instead of looking like your lesbian aunt, the singer for this one looked like an actual lesbian that was trying to dress up like Drew Carey, but the bassist. The bassist had on a fucking a Drive Like Jehu shirt for, and those, which was like, okay, you know you're in San Diego, you're doing
shit.
You're doing the thing, okay? Damn. And then they started playing, and goddamn, they suck.
Okay,
Me and Matt, and not just me and Matt, anyone we looked at, we were like, what the fuck is this? But they have like a real, they're very like, well, they have a good reputation. I haven't listened to them on album, so maybe it's a different experience, but that wasn't. As you say that
it wasn't. This is a business.
This ain't it, fam.
I do say that,
but it was fun to see him. And then I had tickets to the show, the Callous Dow Boys, which is a mathcore band.
I'm mad. I missed it.
You are?
Yeah.
Why didn't you go?
Because I was out of town.
You were in fucking North Carolina. Yeah, you would. You would have liked it. Dallas Cowboys. No, fuck
the Dallas Cowboys are my favorite football team.
Callous Dow Boys, which is a great fucking name. Even if the band sucked, like they don't suck.
They should call themselves the Callous Doughboys. Would be cooler.
Well, it's Dow like the Dao De Jing.
No,
they
know.
Have the I Ching pieces around it.
Dow would have been cool, like them being fat.
Yeah, dude. Their whole aesthetic, too. Like, they're two albums in. They're a mathcore band, but they have like a really strong, absurd sense of humor. You have no fucking clue where these songs are going one minute to the next in the best way. And they captured like that live perfectly. And what I didn't know is they have the whole thing of them on stage. There's like six of them. So it's like Arcade Fire as a mathcore band because they got this super like Matt's like, is she in the band? She's fine. And but there's this super good looking chick playing. She's up there dancing, playing violin, and it was like, what? Why is this here? But then you hear string sections, and she's hooked in, and it's like, oh, that's why. And they were great. But then the headliner was Rollo Tomasi, which is a band from Sheffield, England.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for about 15 years, and they're definitely a mathcore band, and they were fucking great. And this is their first time playing out here ever. Which was the venue though was the Voodoo Room at fucking House of Blues.
Weird.
The small one.
Weird.
Horrible venue for these
weird
bands. So Callous Dow Boys are coming back later this fall to Music Box.
Okay.
With a band called Protest the Hero.
Oh, I've heard
of them too. I don't know, but I'd definitely like to go check
it's
them out.
It's definitely more metalcore shit.
Yeah. Well, they're more like almost progressive metal, I'd say. They're very like dilly 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 dilly.
We ain't got split hair.
Anyway, it was good to see Matt.
I'm surprised you're rolling with a Callous Dow Boys shirt instead of a... Yeah, yeah.
Rollo Tomasi was... Honestly, they were amazing. The vocalist was amazing. The chick singer. Because she goes from clean to screaming back and forth. But I like this shirt better. Because this shirt, it has a volcano, and it said, God smiles upon the calloused elbows.
It does have a volcano. You are right.
Exactly. Traveler, what did you say the last? Traveler, you can't handle this dick.
You can't.
What is this traveler thing? Is this a meme I missed?
Oh, dude, you haven't seen this video? Oh, my God. During the break, I'll show it to you.
I knew I missed something.
I think, Jake, you've seen that fucking the potion seller. You haven't seen Potion Seller?
No.
Holy.
Oh, wait. Potion Seller is good. I've seen that.
Potion Seller. You can't handle my...
Hey, that's a good video.
Holy shit, it's so good.
I watched this...
My potions would kill a dragon. Let alone a man.
And he fucking cracks up several times while he's trying to maintain character. HBO Max has this original called Reality. It's about Reality Winner.
Oh, I saw that. It's, what's her name?
The whistleblower about...
Sydney Sweeney?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I was curious about it because I had read a few reviews. The thing is, that what's interesting about this, besides the subject matter, because, you know, whatever about the subject matter, that's interesting. Whatever. But, yeah. The actual FBI recording, like they recorded the entire thing, that's the script of the movie. It doesn't deviate from that at all. So structurally, it's weird. I've never seen anything like that. And so structurally, it's bound to that. Everything that was on the recording is reenacted in the film, and that's the film. And it takes you in a kind of ride because you're at a bunch of different levels with this. It's like, well, why did she do this and this and this? But then it like paints the picture at the end, like without fucking whistle. Obviously, the intelligence community is not going to be transparent with the fucking public. I say it all the time.
Right.
They're not doing their job very well if they are. But it paints the picture that if we didn't have people occasionally blowing the whistle, like, because if this is something they were aware of, why were they not telling the public? And it comes down to the fact that whatever the reason is, it's a group of a very small group of people with the information controlling the information. And that like paints kind of a freaking pessimistic picture. But anyway, as far as like just structurally, I'd recommend it to people to see what they do with that recording. And it's very well paced. It's real interesting. I don't think, you know, some people it may not be their thing, but I think you guys would think it was interesting for
sure. Sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
I watched Renfield because it's on Peacock. Jessup enjoyed it from Say You Love Satan.
Oh, so he's wrong.
And you're fucking wrong, bro. Like, what do you mean you enjoyed
it? I know some people have liked this film. And I haven't watched it, but...
Watch it. Watch it and hate it more than I do.
Are you telling me to watch it right now? Like, watch what I'm doing?
Watch what you're saying. Because, dude, look. Nick Cage plays a vampire. Therefore, if you liked Vampire's Kiss...
Oh, and then Holt plays a fucking, like, every
You must like this.
Oh, dude, I get it.
And there's blood, and they have...
Dude, in a vampire movie, there's blood?
There's blood and there's fights, dude.
What the fuck?
And everything looks like it was... It looks like Joel Schumacher like shot it like Batman Forever with all the neon.
They can't getting away with this, dude. They cannot.
Didn't you say you couldn't get past the first 25 minutes, Jacob?
Yeah, I just wasn't feeling it. I don't know. I think it might be Awkwafina. I feel like she might have been miscast in this.
Who?
Awkwafina.
Oh, God.
It's just, I liked her in certain roles, but... This is just, it's insufferable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The whole plot about her and the cops and the block, like, dude, like, just get it out.
Yeah.
Also, like,
out of here.
I know there's a lot of Discord members that enjoyed it, and I'm glad you guys, you know, let people enjoy things. Well, let me not enjoy things. You know, like, fucking, like, dude, no, it's not my thing. And then it's a wasted opportunity.
Let me hate things.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage, like, is Nicolas, I love fucking Nicolas Cage. He does not go full
you
Cage.
You love fucking
in this.
Him, dude?
No. That would be scary. No, but...
I like that you're going back and forth between sunglasses and your regular glasses.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
I just feel comfy. I feel comfy in these... Because I'm getting new glasses coming in. I'm really sick of this. I'm really sick of this shit here.
Why are you sick of it?
Because it's Burberry. I didn't know that. I didn't even know how much that would pop out.
It was
like
distracting.
That.
I noticed it right away.
See? That's what I'm talking about.
I noticed it right away. I was like, you got this, the t-shirt and everything. And I'm like, wait, something's different about the glasses.
See? Mm-hmm. Can't do it. Can't do it. But when they do the introduction of the character too, like he's in this state where he's like trying to get back up to full strength. So like the rollout of Dracula is just like not very Dracula-ish. But he does this really nuanced thing where, like, he's doing the Bela Lugosi thing.
The beginning of the movie, too, I kind of like the tie-in of him
playing. Oh, yeah, with the old movie?
Yeah.
That was fucking cool.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. Like, you might as well. And it made me think, because I saw that movie when I was a kid, you know? And it made me, like, it might be a good idea for a rewatch.
Yeah.
It's, what you're saying is he's not doing good.
It's not my. It was not my.
Do you think it should have been his movie instead? It should have just been a Dracula movie.
I think so too. I do think that. The problem for me wasn't the. If you want to rework it and make it Renfield centric, I think that's cool. You can do that. It's going to be shitty for marketing because no one knows who Renfield is except hardcore Dracula and horror enthusiasts. But so that's already a losing battle. It didn't do well at box office, right? But the big thing comes down to me is the direction. And some of the casting, because the script, I felt like the script could work. The way it was staged, though, and also the way the production design in this movie was ridiculous to me. Like, everything is bathed in, like, green and pink light. It looked like fucking Batman Forever. And
yeah, the restaurant scene, like the fight. Yeah.
It's trying way too hard. It's over-stylized. It's already Dracula and Renfield. Are you saying that
Batman Forever is not a good movie, dude?
I'm saying it's black light, pink and green.
That's your problem, dude.
I know. Yeah, No. And then also by the last 45 minutes, I was completely fucking checked out. Like just completely.
I can probably see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, if you enjoyed it, that's great.
Damn.
No. Damn. Well, no, man.
If you enjoyed it, that's cool for you. But like.
But you should probably get checked out, you know? I don't think you're a real horror fan if you enjoy it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
No, man, no. And then, Jacob, if you watch it too, like the fight scenes, it's that over-choppy editing thing. Like nothing occurs in the same
slow motion. Oh, fast no. motion.
There's slow motion. All that bullshit. Fast motion. All slow that motion. Bullshit.
Ramping up the speed and slowing
all
down.
All that kind of bullshit. It's not... And people will be like, well, I don't know. I thought it was fun. Like, I don't think they're looking at it the same way. In fact, you're not. And that's okay. You're not looking for the same things. You know, we're not the same.
Wow.
No. Mysterious Skin. You guys know that movie, The Doom Generation?
No.
It's from the 90s. It's kind of a cult classic now. But there's this
director. It's probably pretty good, though.
Greg Araki. He makes a bunch of LGBTQ movies and all this. I guess that's what he's predominantly known for. But I kept hearing about this movie, and I follow this thing on fucking Instagram now. It's a page called Cinematologist,
yeah,
which is a dope-ass page. And this person puts these little, what are they called? Montages together of different films that they like and different kind of subgenres with music that they like.
Yeah.
And then I had heard about it a few times, but it came up again. It's really settled into being a modern cult classic. But it's based on a true story of these two guys. It deals with a really tough topic, which is molestation and how it affects people long term. And one of the main character played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he becomes a male prostitute. But like he really enjoys being a male prostitute. But it's rooted in this shit that happened when he was a kid. And I've never seen a movie just unflinchingly handle this shit. So it was a very uncomfortable watch, honestly. But I wasn't like, I'm uncomfortable, so disengage. I'm like, let me see where this is going. Also, it has this vibe, which makes perfect sense when you're talking about trauma, of it's actually very sweet about what the people are going through, like, meaning like not the...
Which is hard to...
It's hard to mix those two because you really empathize with them and you see how complicated the situation is, but it also has this like strong surrealist edge to it. Which makes sense because trauma like leaves people in kind of a surreal space a lot of the time. So
you know what it is, dude. Life feeds on life.
Yeah, and it has a dope fucking soundtrack of the Cocteau Twins.
Ooh,
and one of the dudes writes the score. And this is 2004, so this movie was like, and it's NC-17 for good fucking reason. There's a very distressing adult rape scene in this movie. So I'm forewarning people, but also if it's something that you think would be a therapeutic watch for you or an informative watch, it's actually really well done. But Sophia had to check out about 20 minutes in.
Yep, I can fully understand.
She had to check out, and Really fucking well done movie. I've never really seen a movie like it. And then Taxi Driver.
Huh.
All this Scorsese talk with fucking Flowers of the Wolf Moon.
Flowers of the Killer. Killer Flowers.
Killer Flowers of the Moon.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Martin Scorsese's Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
That would be crazy.
That would be dope as fuck. But Killers of the Flower Moon coming out. You know, I hadn't watched Taxi Driver in about 10 years. Sophia had never seen it. But yeah, so there, I was trying to expose her to some heavy ass cinema this week, I guess. But
yeah, clearly you go from fucking a molestation movie to Taxi Driver, and it's like, what are you doing, brother?
Taxi Driver is a fucking masterpiece. Like, it really is. I always knew it was, but like, I think 10 years later now, even more so, and it's just how impressionistic it is, how way ahead it was with its themes of like alienation in the big city, and this is like the prototype incel guy. You know, but he's also a lot of things. I didn't get the ending before, like, meaning I...
Oh, yeah.
I thought, like, that happened. It's like, probably not. Probably, that's probably...
Unreliable narrator.
Yeah, he's imagining that shit, and it's like, god damn. Like, the...
Oh, shit, that's me, dude.
And so I think Goodfellas and Raging Bull are probably his best movies, but I think, as an artist, I think this is his most artistic movie.
Okay.
I think it's like it's more like it plays like you know like
it's,
music.
It's top 10 for me of all time.
Is it?
I watch it like twice a year. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I got like the replica like jack at the M65 field jack with all the patches and because he used to have a mohawk, so it was like my Comic Con thing.
Yeah.
And I used to Uber drive, so I would be the fucking taxi driver.
That's badass.
Yeah,
dude.
It was insane.
Yeah. But,
yeah. That character, he can be studied in school. You know that character. He's so complex.
And definitely. Like, and then they just they mention he's a vet, and that fills in a lot of stuff. And then it's 1976, so it's just so far ahead on stuff, including like when it goes up for it's down here on a shot of his body, and then it goes up and he's got a mohawk, and it's like, oh shit, like the image is very striking. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, the metamorphosis has happened, like this is his final form.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Oh, interesting tidbit. You probably know if you're such you might know. I didn't know about it. The end scene where the whole fucking cathartic thing goes down and he kills the pimp and all that. And Harvey Keitel's fucking hilarious in that role. and all that. That he got an NC-17 rating the first time.
That scene?
Because of that scene. Hmm. And I heard, I was watching this thing with Tarantino talking about it, but then Spielberg talking about it. And Spielberg's telling the story. And when he got the NC-17 rating, Spielberg was saying that Marty... He's calling Marty, not me. I don't fucking know him. But... The guy with the caterpillar eyebrows, Marty, was fucking staying up all night on cocaine with a gun, and he was considering going and fucking, he wanted to go shoot the guys.
Fucking crazy, yeah.
Because he was all fucking coked out. But then he said he had this great idea, and he told Steven, he's like, what if I just desaturate the scene? So the blood in that scene, if you notice, is this like darker hue of red.
Yeah.
And he desaturated the whole scene and gave it back to him, and then they gave him the R rating.
Fucking weird.
Yeah.
It was like...
I'm like scared he's like playing himself in that scene where Scorsese being driven by De Niro.
Yeah.
And he's spying on his wife and shit.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, it's so like... It comes... Well, it's Schrader too. And you love Paul Schrader.
Yeah.
Like, you love Paul Schrader stuff. I haven't seen First Reformed.
It's probably like top five A24 movies. Like,
that's what I've... Yeah, see, I need to watch that shit.
Yeah.
Let me see. Taxi Driver. It's good.
Sweet.
It's a fun time.
And, you saw
a fun time.
Extraction.
Oh, two. Extraction 2.
Woo!
On Netflix. All right,
go quickly on that one.
I'm going to go quick. The first one, if you've seen it, then you know the deal. But this is the guy who's he's the second unit director for a lot of great action sequences, both in peak Marvel movies like Winter Soldier. Even if you don't like those movies, the really good action sequences... That's the guy who kind of put that shit together. Not kind of, he did, right? What other stuff? Not just stuff with the Russos. Other stuff, too, he was involved in. Some of the John Wick franchise, I want to say, or no?
Oh, I think it was David Leitch, right?
Yeah.
I don't think...
Oh, that's David Leitch. Yeah. But in any case, he moved into directing, into behind the director's chair with Extraction. He has these long, unbroken shots, mm-hmm. but he really took that to the next fucking level with that. And this one, like, takes that and...
I know you like those oneers.
I do.
This is a 21-minute one. When it clicks in and you realize, wait, this is fucking... This is happening. Like, this is still one unbroken shot, or at least with the hidden cuts.
It's fucking incredible, dude.
It doesn't stop.
It is thrilling. It's 2 a.m. at night, and I'm by myself with my jaw, like, on the floor.
And it's like what the fuck? The movie takes place in, like, you know, like a 24-hour time span, and it just feels like it's just never-ending. Yeah. Just
keeps moving.
Dope. I'm in.
Yeah.
I got to watch that and then the other one. Covenant?
Oh, Covenant's dope.
But I got to go back to back.
Covenant is like not as just straight action. I mean, this is next level action.
It's a video game. It goes like full video
game. It feels full video game and it's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back to talk about a film that is also full action most of the time.
In four scenes.
Hey,
sorry.
Hey, you gonna watch it? You gonna watch that tone, dude?
Yeah.
Idiot.
I'll watch it. We've only met him like one time.
Your mom should have left you in a basket.
Yeah. Bastard from a basket.
Bastard from a basket.
She should have put you in a glass jar when you crawled out of your mother's filth. You're lower than a bastard.
We're fucking back, dude, from a quick little break.
We're back!
Hey, Jacob. I'm going to put you on the spot, motherfucker.
Oh, what?
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding! No.
Psych! Psych!
Tell me about the Patreon, dude.
Woo. I'm going to be ready now next time.
Well, I reckon you all have some views of your own. And... when you're a child, it takes a while to settle into your views.
Okay.
People are always trying to get through to you. They're trying to give you certain ideas. They're trying to say, believe this, believe that. Okay. Something you should believe now that you're a grown-ass adult is get yourself on over to www. It's more like W.
www.
Well, I'm not going to do it. That's like Texas. Okay. www. Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast. And you'll be privy to exclusive content like the pre-show that's going on. We got another 40 minutes of nonsense.
Bombastic content.
Exactly. And what else you get? What else are we going to get? We're going to rework the tiers. We've been talking about that.
Right? You get the show early.
Get the show early. We started doing that again.
Yes.
We're not going to say they don't get it early because the show's late, whatever the fuck that means. So I'm not going to do that. We're not going
to
do that.
Access to the Discord.
You get access to the Discord, which is pretty fun sometimes. And
sometimes.
Well, it is. I mean,
it's fun sometimes. It's mostly shit, but it's cool.
No, that's not what I'm saying. And also, most importantly, well, to us anyway, you get to help us do this show because, as aforementioned, it's several thousand dollars a month to do this show. It's
hugely several thousand.
People's families, Jorge's family suffering. His children are not in public school. And that's directly because of the show.
Wait, you think it'd be the opposite?
Do you have a GoFundMe?
For my kids' education?
Yeah.
For the college fund, maybe.
Yeah, do that.
No.
We'll do that separately.
But yeah, that'll be separate. Yeah, for sure.
www.patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast.
There you go. That's it.
Wow. The blood meridian of fucking...
You know, we're fond of saying whenever anyone dies, it's another dead old white bitch. But true. Cormac McCarthy, what do you think, Jorge?
Actually sad.
Yeah.
Not really.
He's another dead
white bitch. Gotcha.
One day.
God damn. Who's it gonna be? Anybody?
No, dude. We're all just fucking sentient flesh, brother.
But that's
none of it matters.
Good.
Okay. Anywho, the Who Goes Our Podcast watched 1997 Starship Troopers, directed by Paul Verhoeven, written by Edward Neumeier and Robert Heinlein, starring
Casper Van Dien, Denise Richards, Dina Mayer, Jake Busey, Neil Patrick Harris, who had at that point not been in many things, Clancy Brown, shout out Clancy fucking Brown, who has voiced fucking everything in this world, Seth Gilliam, Patrick Muldoon, Michael Ironside, shout out fucking, you know, Rue McClanahan, dope as shit, and a bunch of other people that... No, they matter to this movie. They
Michael
matter.
Ironside passed away.
He sure did. He's dead as fuck.
Wait, what?
Like a couple years ago, no. Right? In the last 2 years?
I think so. I think you're right. Let's check. Let's...
Is he an old, white, dead
he
bitch?
He is the oldest and whitest dead bitch.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh.
He was a sentimental type guy, so you might want to be nice.
To who? To him?
Yeah.
He's dead.
To his corpse.
What does it matter, to brother?
To his memory.
No, he's still alive.
Okay. Oh, oops.
I was like, what?
Sorry, Michael Ironside. Well, look, he has one rule. Everybody fights.
Everybody fights.
If you don't do your job, he'll fucking shoot you.
Himself.
Exactly. That's what he said.
What do you think of Starship Troopers, brother?
Starship Troopers is, first and foremost, it's grown in after it's 1997. So it's been coming up on 30 years pretty damn soon here. It's one of the best military satires of all time, straight up, along with Dr. Strangelove and I'd say maybe Tropic Thunder. Like, that's a good, like, trifecta of American military satires. Weird. That's military satire at its best. When it first came out, I remember seeing this. I saw this movie 3 or 4 times.
What about Hot Shots Part 2?
I mean, that's a spoof.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Dude, exactly. Biloxi Blues, dude. What about In the Army Now with Pauly Shore? Stripes. Stripes is fucking dope. But not really a satire either. But
what about Full Metal Jacket, dude?
Yeah, when this came out in 97, I mean, there's a lot to talk about here, so we'll get into it later. But I saw this 3 or 4 times in the theater, and I was a dork, so I already knew who Paul Verhoeven was, and I knew who Phil Tippett was. This movie's got amazing fucking creature design, amazing visual effects. At the time, I didn't understand exactly. I was 15. I didn't understand exactly how hard this was going satirically. I think it's way ahead of its time. Because RoboCop has moments of satire, and it is a satire, but this is like the entire time.
Yeah.
None of its character, like any of the stuff that I thought in high school was cheesy, but I was waiting to get to the cool shit. It was like, it's cheesy on purpose. Verhoeven he's painting this like fascist utopia scenario.
Yeah.
You know? Like, literally, like, right down to the... It starts out where education school with Michael Ironside saying that social scientists and democracy almost destroyed civilization. So it's a possible future where the veterans and the military have taken
They're over. Already brainwashing their high schoolers, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, at the time, that kind of stuff, it was pretty much... I don't want to say it was lost on me, but most of it was.
Yeah, you can't be like, oh, fuck, I understood...
No, yeah, I was rebellious, and I was beginning to understand, and a movie like this started planting seeds, you know, and I also think I think Verhoeven is one of the most subversive filmmakers ever, because he's working with stuff like RoboCop and Total Recall on this. He's working on this broad canvas with movies that a lot of people saw, particularly RoboCop and Starship Troopers. So it's not like, he's not fucking Lars von Trier, you know what I mean? He made RoboCop. People have seen that shit. So he planted a lot of stuff in there. you can be really subversive when your movies get a lot of fucking eyeballs on them.
Yep.
You know? And I think it's aged extremely well. And that's where I'll stop for right now. Just fantastic fucking... I mean, the Verhoeven's ability with extreme gore in action scenes and his prowess with that...
Yeah.
Like that part where the torso flies at him and fucking hits him, like not only is it over the top and gory, but it has such kinetic energy where it's just the tone of the movie switches on a dime from being very goofy and satirical to just bleak and hopeless
mm-hmm.
in those moments. And then that's mm-hmm. when you're really encountering Verhoeven. It's an anti-war movie.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I got so far.
There you go. Jacobo?
Oh, man, I saw this movie for the first time when I was like 6 years old, and that's it was like crazy. A rite of passage for me and all my friends at school, my neighbor. It's like, you know, it's got, when you're a kid, you're like, it's cool. It's got the blood and boobies and all this shit. But
does it ever
have right? boobies? And then as you grow older, you just enjoy it more and more. And it's, it's fucking one of my all time favorite science fiction movies. And there's always something new I appreciate every time I watch it. And like Roger Ebert gave it 2 stars, but to quote him, it's like the most violent kiddie movie of all time. And there's something about that, which I kind of agree with, but it is because to quote like another journalist from like The Atlantic, they said it's like one of the most misunderstood movies of all time. And I agree. And I love what Paul Verhoeven did with taking this like fascist fucking author, Robert Heinlein, who made this like critics of that time in the '60s were like, this is a propaganda book for kids. Like it was fucking crazy. Like his political views. And then Paul Verhoeven just kind of shits on it and flips it into this whole anti-war narrative and satire. And I just loved it. And also, yeah.
Well, to sort of piggyback, it's almost a masterclass on, you know, turning the industrial complex and the military complex against itself, right? Because you can watch it and you can be like, oh, dude, this movie's a little bit cute, it's a little bit funny, whatever. But it is brilliant in its satirical handling of the military, and it's one of those deals where you're like, you think back on it, I think back on it, I go, did he really know what he was doing? Watching it again. Yep, he knew what he was doing, and it's unbelievable, dude. Verhoeven, it's a work of fucking genius, dude. The whole thing, the actors that he chose, because some of these guys couldn't.
Denise Richards.
Yeah, some of these guys couldn't really, you know,
perfect for fascist utopia.
Couldn't really do the thing.
Yeah,
but.
They look pretty.
They look, you know, there's pretty people.
Oh, yeah, you got, they're,
you know, doing U.S. rah-rah bullshit, and it is working on every single level. Fantastic effects. I just can't say enough good things about it. Super fun.
It's a journey, for sure. Like, seeing them, I keep forgetting that they're high schoolers in the beginning. They're literally fucking high schoolers. At least that's how it was in the book.
They're children, although they look 40.
Yeah, but, you know. Yeah. I think Casper Van Dien was like 30 years old when he filmed it or some shit. Like, they're high schoolers, and just seeing their journey and seeing all their pep in the beginning. Like, oh, did you hear this person's brother got into pilot school? Yeah, you know. And then the moment where you realize like, oh, the satire for me hits is when he's like, I'm going to be mobile infantry. And he's like, That made me the man I am today, and he's got no fucking legs.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the perfect punchline.
Well, missing an arm, and so okay, cool, you got a mechanical arm, and then the chair moves, no legs.
Yeah.
Well, right off the rip, when you see all that stuff, like where I'm doing my part, and it's literal children. It's like, if you don't know what's going on in this film, like you've missed the whole point.
Well, dude, again, like I missed quite a bit when I initially saw it all those years ago. Like I missed. The fact that you can't become a citizen, you can't even be a citizen
without being in the military.
In the military.
Yeah. You can't vote or do anything.
It's completely a fascist fucking utopia. Yeah. Like this is the wet dream that that certain people would like, supposedly.
Well, what's interesting too is that even if you can't vote, you can still live a pretty lavish lifestyle. Like,
well, of course, that's the whole.
That's what I mean.
His parents don't give a fuck.
Rico's parents don't give a shit about, you know, like military lifestyle. It's like they're still rich. Yeah. Like who cares about the military?
I can vote and I don't vote. So fuck off, you know? Like I don't exactly. What? Don't look at me like that.
You don't vote, dude?
No. You know what, dude? I did last time. They got me to come out. The show got me to come out. The season finale got me to go out and vote for this guy who farts and falls over, you know, because I didn't want it. You know, I thought it was better than the.
Have you guys seen the new Trump meme with the "I did everything they asked and they indicted me"? Oh, it's the best! It's the best.
Mine is the. Sounds good, I'm gonna though. Do it.
Yeah, dude, it's so good. Anywho, continue.
So there's iconography in this movie, right? Iconography of the German Nazi regime and Italian National Fascist Party.
They almost had like SS badges. It was that close.
With the black berets and
yeah. And then so the thing is too, Verhoeven he was around during the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands. So the guy is extremely...
He's like tuned in.
Against fascism.
Yeah.
So that's what his movies... When he came to America from his Dutch movies, he's like, I'm gonna give you guys what you want, and you may or may not get what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
But you're going to... like. Do I want to see Ed 209 turn the guy into hamburger? Yeah, he's all, yeah, why is that? What's going on here? But I'm going to give it to you, you know, because... And also, when this guy's getting ripped apart in this movie, there's a scene where the fucking newscaster guy, the cameraman's like on him. It's on him. And this is 97. And it's like, that stuff, it's always been relevant. But yeah. It's like, dude, like, you know, he understands human nature. There is that aspect. In that talk at the beginning, too... Michael Ironside talks about violence, how it's solved more problems throughout human history than anything else. So it's kind of fucking interesting because obviously coming at it from the satire angle, it sounds like the thing is, unfortunately, if you look at human history, I'm not saying that's a correct statement, but that's been how humans have conducted themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you agree with it or not, I think Verhoeven's saying like this is really, there's what we say and there's what we do.
Yep.
And
yep,
this
yep.
is what we've done.
Yep. Well, even right? that, even that little moment where, fuck, what's, Busey's kid's son, name?
Jake Busey.
Jacob Busey, right? Where he gets his hand,
yeah.
like knifed up on the wall.
Oh yeah.
When you're talking about like, you know, he's like, it's violence is like the answer, right? Like even that little moment, he's like, well, if you can't touch the button, what does it matter? Like all of these little nods to, it's literally the act of violence that scares everybody,
right?
And that's what's going to control people. And it's brilliant, dude. Like
the threat of force. It's there on an instinctual level the whole time.
Yeah,
yeah.
And even like even sort of like the base level, like, you know, where they're talking about like the only good bug is a dead bug. That stuff, you're like, yeah, dude, they're talking about like indigenous people and blah, 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 blah. Or
well, absolutely. Well, because also like it occurred to me, not the first time, because I watched it a few years ago and it began to occur to me finally. Like, how did they run into the bugs?
Yeah.
Well, we ran into the bugs because we're colonizing.
Yep.
Which is when a species is trying to spread out and dominate, which is neither inherently... So it's talking about colonialism there.
Yep.
Right? Let me go to a new area and whatever's there, like it better move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of morbid, the ending, the brain bug. It's afraid. Everyone's like, yeah. It's like, dude, they fucking dominated.
It's a great fucking scene because yeah. it's about cruelty. It's yeah. about feeling better because it's not enough to kill a thing. It has to. We have to know
that
it's
dominate
experiencing
it.
Fear.
Yeah.
Once I know, and they're like, yeah, fear, yeah, cool, dude. Right. So, again, that was completely, like, I did not get that. I think I celebrated non-ironically at that part when I was 15.
Yeah, same here. You're enjoying different parts of the movie at different ages you watch it. It's crazy. Exactly.
Because, yeah, and it doesn't, and it makes sense that you would, because instinctually you're still identifying at that point with, well, the human beings, we're the human beings, so I want them to kill the bugs. But now it's like you start thinking of it differently as you age, and then things look a little different. But also, again, it's not just age. Like, the movie has aged differently. I think, like, the this is satire that didn't, like, hit its stride with that level of I don't... What's the word I'm looking for? Because it's really...
It's got a razor sharp focus, but it's in the wrong era. And now it's hitting.
Exactly.
It's hitting.
It doesn't respect any of its characters. It's making fun of all of its characters.
Yeah.
Like at no point is it respecting its and that's the thing, it plays it straight.
Yeah.
Like these are the heroes. Oh, the music. The musical cue is like, and it's like
the Klendathu theme with the drop ships. Yeah,
all of cool. that shit. And it's like, well, what is this? It's propaganda. That's what it is.
If you remember your training, you will survive. Yeah. You know,
I know it's a little stuff. It's a little cute to make the comparison, but I get a lot of like Hunger Games vibes from this stuff, like where yeah. you know, we're just throwing these fucking children
absolutely
at the bugs.
Well, I think that's why Hunger Games has the resonance it does, and worldwide it hit like it did too, because that has been the story.
Yep.
You throw the youth at the enemy,
fucking
so
the youth.
Machine can run,
just fucking grind them up,
meat for the grinder, they're just lying there,
sauce for the goose.
See, you doing good, you can't be scared, that's all. That's it.
That's their teachers. Yeah, that's their instructors.
That's the children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking. And then so I mean, even like, and also, apart from all that stuff, because that's the thing, we don't want to go too conceptual, but it has that. Verhoeven does have that. It's not just I have violence and gore and tits, and that's it. Like, he always has this other shit, and Starship Troopers definitely has the conceptual bent to it. But on the other hand, as a time capsule 1990s movie, like, you know, I mean, because it's the future, but it's the future as rendered by the 90s, and like the school campus. And then, like, they've got something that's similar to, like, a fucking Etch-A-Sketch iPad.
It's kind of legit, yeah. I think it was kind of spot on.
It was pretty close. Yeah. It's pretty fucking close, dude. And then, you know, they got the football game, which is the...
the backflips and shit.
The fascist sport of choice, but this is the enhanced football game.
Crazy. It's football, but better.
Yeah.
It's like Navy versus Army and shit.
Or, I mean, that's exactly what Air Force, it is. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is, right? Yeah. Because, you know, like, normal-ass kids wouldn't be in these schools. It's elite.
It's like eugenics.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, this fucking gene tampering shit kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, too, how they look all beautiful and perfect according to the Western ideal.
Not a fat person in sight.
Yeah.
Well, except the people that have been torn apart by fucking bugs.
Yeah, there's all that. And then it's interesting, too, that where it's set, though, right?
Clindathu?
No. Like, it's set in
Buenos Aires?
Buenos Aires, right? So I'm assuming that comes from the book.
Yeah. It's Juan Rico.
Yeah.
He's Filipino dude, and he's from Buenos Aires, and Ari's and his fucking family gets all destroyed, yeah.
So it's a big mixture of elements, because Robert Heinlein's original book was not meant as a satire, right? But fucking... No. So check this out. Now, this is from Wikipedia, granted, but so what? Development of Starship Troopers began in 91 as a separate project called Bug Hunt at Outpost 7, written by Newmyer. The same guy who wrote this wrote RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
So, dope. Mm-hmm. But he also wrote the Anaconda sequel, so not dope. But anyway.
Dope.
Yeah, I mean, what?
It's dope.
What can you say?
It's an Anaconda, dude. If you were surprised by that movie, fuck out of here.
So, Bug Hunt at Outpost 7, that sounds like a movie that needs to be made. But... Producer John Davison noticed many similarities between this guy's work and Heinlein's book and asked him to rework the script to more closely follow the novel so it could gain interest from studio executives. So he already had this kind of idea, and then they brought in the book to gain interest. And then when Verhoeven got involved, he saw a lot of fucking just blatant propaganda and fucking and fascist stuff. And so that's what happened.
Yep.
But, and it makes sense, because, like, some of this, like, the combat scenes, like, it's full-on fucking alien space marine stuff. Like,
yeah.
How you had that, like, rite of passage?
Yeah, that was fun. I was, like, playing in the backyard, imaginary guns with my friends, just shooting bugs and shit, and then it's cool, like, video games and all that, and it inspired a lot, and...
Yeah. Some of it is aged, like, visually, but, I mean, surprisingly, a lot of it's still pretty fucking clean.
I think the CGI is pretty fucking phenomenal for its time, for 1997. Like, that's, like, 3 months before that Spawn came out, you know? Yeah. Like, that was horrendous.
Speaking of which...
Or last year, Morbius came out.
I watched a documentary a couple weeks ago called Jurassic Punk about... You heard anything about this?
Yes, the guy who worked on Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah.
The visual effects or something?
Visual effects guy and who worked with Phil Tippett, you know, like hand in hand. That guy couldn't get out of his own fucking way, man. Hold on. Let me.
Yeah, I really wanted to watch that. It looked interesting.
Hold on 1 second. Steve Williams, Spaz. So he had worked... what's the movie you were just talking about? Or you? RoboCop and
Aliens?
Nah, never mind. Doesn't matter. So Phil Tippett, you know, it was sort of like instrumental in creating all of these effects that are like, you know, stop motion, blah 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 blah. But this film in particular, it's all CGI, and it is with the exception of like, you know, the dissection of the bug and whatnot. But
well, that's kind of go on. I want to come back to that.
What I mean, you know what I mean? As a film that primarily uses CGI for its, you know, for the violence, it's unbelievably realistic. You know, the stuff that is, you know, the stuff that is like a practical effect is super, super well done. Anything that's...
Well, the decision of where they put practical effects, because, a lot, the broad majority is CGI, but then if someone's hiding behind one of the bugs and it's like his hand's right here, they don't have a CGI thing there.
Yeah.
Like they have a built fucking thing.
Yeah, they have life-size arachnids like in studios. Yeah,
life-size arachnids where a thing goes through their leg. It's like it's a physical thing through the guy's leg in the close-up.
Yeah.
So just like in RoboCop didn't use CGI, but Verhoeven's decisions of where to go practical versus like fucking film fuckery like are always like instinctually great. Like he'll go the extra mile to make sure that it doesn't break that like the feeling of what's the thing where you still you're believing what you're seeing still.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like the uncanny valley bullshit.
Just like when people like there's a part where someone's in midair, they get the fucking two things through them. So they obviously had the person on a wire, and they added the stuff around them.
Yeah, the things that come out the front are like probably practical, but everything behind them is like exactly. CGI.
But the stuff out of the front is it's like he bothered to make that practical. They would be so lazy, and they even back then they were about a lot of that. Some of them they'll straight CGI the whole person and not even put people on wires, you know. And then much less talk about the rendering of everything around it. But anyway,
I mean, this is a perfect balance of CGI with practical effects done to a really, really intelligent degree.
And I went to a panel at Monsterpalooza for a reunion for Starship Troopers, and Casper Van Diem and the what's her name who played Dizzy was there, and Jake Busey.
She's
so gorgeous. She still looks great. Yeah. And it's funny because Johnny Rico is like his girlfriend or wife now kind of looks like a young Dizzy. funny. But anyway, they're all talking about it. And Verhoeven was in front of the actors for all the green screen shots with his fucking hands like pincers, like pretending he was an arachnid. And they had to like shoot at him as a wave. So there's some sort of physicality
to it.
Yeah, he was so involved with that. But yeah, I mean, you could tell like they're always just shooting at green screens for the most part. But it kind of adds like this. I know we're kind of inching towards this atomic era for the next episode, but it kind of feels like a 1950s like cheesy just shooting at a giant monster that's not really there. I don't know, there's some charm to the cheesiness of it, even though it's actually, you know, decent CGI.
Yeah, I mean, even the bits that feel like they're, you know, they're up against a green screen, I think even that stuff feels intentional, like the way they do it, the way Verhoeven is filming these specific scenes, it never feels like he's like, oh, I'm going to try to get one over on my audience. It's like, he's like, yeah, we know what we're doing. Like, it's going to look shitty. It's going to look a little bit cheesy, but this is what we're doing. And it never fails to impress.
What else doesn't fail to impress?
Dizzy's boobs.
There you go.
We're all Team Dizzy here.
Team Dizzy, all the way.
I had to jump back in there because I was Denise reading this Richards, thing, man. Yeah, it worked out.
She sucks.
She does suck. And see, this is another thing, too. There's some great, like...
I wanted her brain to get sucked out, too.
There's some great Hollywood movie fucking fairy tale logic in some of this, too, right? Like, you know, the guy who was getting it on with Denise Richards, what happens to him, you know? He gets his fucking brain sucked out because nobody likes him. He's not Rico.
Yeah, he's not Rico.
Yeah, so this is what's going to happen. And it's just like, it's so like mean-spirited, but it's not like, it's not Verhoeven, it's you. You're like, yeah, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Suck his brain out. and by the way, God, is that a fucking brain-sucking scene?
Yeah, for real.
And the fucking design of the thing, it's like this hideous vagina with eyes.
It's a fucking insect pussy.
Yeah, but then it has a fucking, the D... It's
both. It's got the dick and got the pussy.
Yeah, it will fuck you.
It'll fuck you both ways.
It'll fucking suck you dry.
I just like the idea that it's like, oh, it's gonna eat meat, and then it's like can understand like human thoughts. Like, man, that's pretty stupid. Yeah. But it's dope as shit.
It's weird to think of the logistics of these aliens. Like, how are they hurling full on asteroids at Earth, you know, like it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
They're so primitive.
Well, that's why it really only works metaphorically.
Yeah,
like. Well, you know what I mean? If we want to make sense of it.
Because
even Heinlein's book, I guess, like, he...
They that was meant
to
guns.
Be like flak. That was meant to be like flak coming up from submarines and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, of course.
The aliens are advanced, too. They all have guns, too.
And the idea that you think,
in the book?
Yeah.
The bugs could send an asteroid from their planet to Earth in a trajectory that they could calculate in space, it's bullshit, right? Like, so you kind of, yeah.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit, dude. I did not. The idea that, like, you know, they're like, oh, the bugs did this. You're like, oh, you're just looking for a fucking enemy at this point.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's kind of where it, remember what I was talking about in the front end where they're going to fucking control the narrative and say that it's a fucking thing? That's this movie.
Mm-hmm.
People have sacrificed all their actual freedoms and everything so that they can get defense from this extraterrestrial. What is it?
You're getting there.
Extra-testicular?
Extra-testicular, yeah. If you got enemy. One more ball. Yeah.
This bug that can't get to Earth, like, basically. Yeah. It can't get there, bro.
And we're all shocked when it's like, what? You're fighting back?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, dude. That's what I mean about the thing at the end, too, because it's playing on, like, it's a biological knowledge, right, of Verhoeven, right? That ugly-ass brain bug. But it's ugly according to our own fucking... I'm a mammal,
I'd fuck it.
I think it's a very... It's hideous to me based upon my shit.
It's a little sexy. And I'd get down
but
with it.
What it is it's a fucking... It's an animal. It's a creature that got invaded. And then you killed everyone. And then you drug it out in front of everyone. And they know that you're going to do nothing but prod it and stick things up its ass. And dissect it and do all the shit.
Which they show.
On top of that, you don't even know why they're on Klendathu. Like, there's no, like, we found
resources.
Fucking, like, super platinum or, like, unobtainium or anything like
that. Because it's just not the point.
They're just like, you know what, dude? Fuck them bugs.
Which is actually, again, that could be like, I think some people, that's a great point. Because usually a lot of our fights are about resources, right?
Yeah.
That's usually, but even underneath the resource, it's about fighting.
It's about control.
It's about fighting.
Yeah.
For its own sake.
Yeah.
Like, the purpose of fucking cruelty is cruelty. It's not, I'm going to be cruel to get this. It's like, it's its own thing.
Yeah. If that's the whole like, deal, right?
Underneath
like,
all the shit.
If you're capable of cruelty, there is no need for a reason. Like, it's just because
you'll make up a reason. Yeah. Because number one,
it's gold, dude.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, like fucking 9/11.
Whoa, dude.
Whoa, dude.
Where's Matt? Too soon, dude. Too soon.
Dude, what the fuck,
dude? Dude, and people, they gave up their freedoms, dude, so they could get protection from the bug.
Freedom isn't free, dude.
It's not. It costs folks like you and me, dude.
Costs a hefty fucking thing.
Now it's straight up fucking dark in this room.
I was going to make that comment. It's pretty... I like it.
Oh, now you want to turn on the light? Okay, close your eyes. Close your eyes.
Get ready.
I feel like a bug on Klendathu.
Okay. So, we've covered a lot of stuff.
Oh, dude. You're even more squinty-eyed than normal.
I can't... If I'm in the sunlight, if I take a picture, you can't see my eyes. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Damn, dog.
Racist towards myself.
Several filmmakers have named it as an influence or among their favorite films. Check this out, including Ari Aster, David Lowery.
Ari Aster? Yeah, you seen this last movie?
Fuck yeah. Robert Rodriguez, Eli Roth, Quentin Tarantino, James Wan, and Jorge's dude, Edgar Wright.
Totally.
Yes. And then, when it came out, right? It was a box office failure. It didn't make back its budget. And it got generally poor, if middling, reviews from critics. And it's had this huge critical reappraisal.
Yep.
In the years
since. It's a big franchise that's just not making money.
The sequels. I mean, I never saw any of those. Yeah. The direct-to-video sequels.
Holy.
I never watched them.
There is one. I think either the second or the third sequel, where it's literally like they're like Aliens 2. Like, not, you know.
One's like Trench Warfare.
I know I said Aliens 2, but that's like the vibe. It's like, we're going to take like the underground thing. Do that.
Yeah. One of them's like all full on like Trench Warfare.
It's awful, and dude. It's fucking awful. And Casper Van Dien is here for every single one of them.
He loves it.
Fucking loves it.
I don't think he was in part 2.
Three for sure. Maybe.
The third one that is the worst.
Really? Well, that's the one he's in. And the CGI gets worse and worse every film. And but I did, and I watched, speaking of CGI, I did, you know, growing up with it, I did watch the Nickelodeon, Rico, I think it's called Roughnecks or Rico's Roughnecks on Nickelodeon. It had like Like when I found, I don't know how many seasons, but when I found the DVDs at like Book Off where I buy all my movies, they had like 15 volumes of this. And it's like horrible, like late 90s, full CGI cartoon. Because back then it's all 2D animation. So I was kind of surprised it was doing the 3D thing, but it's terrible. But I mean, video game wise too, a lot of terrible games. They released one pretty decent but unfinished game. It's the early RTS access.
Is trash.
Yeah, I heard that one was no trash. Good.
Straight up, like, put it in the bin. Garbage.
People have made modded military simulators and turn them into Starship Trooper games where there's even a role to play the cameraman and a role to play the reporter. Yeah. And they're just full-on RP, just role-playing and pretending that they're in this warfare and they just can't even shoot bug. They're just filming the whole chaos. And like I'm on two Discords with like the most diehard Starship Trooper fans, and there's just like just the full-on
You're
gamers.
On two Discords with...
For Starship
Troopers fans.
Yeah, it's
that
it's,
is crazy that see, you
remember when you used to make fun of me for watching movies all the time?
No?
He says no.
I don't.
You're like, oh, it's cool to watch movies all the time.
Remember when you remember when you bullied the shit out of me?
Yes.
For watching movies?
Yes. I watch movies all the time. It just happens to be the same five movies the time.
Never Bloodshot and Babylon 80. What else?
Yeah. Bloodshot and, oh, you're going to watch the new Walking Dead series?
Please don't.
Don't do it.
Dead City? I probably will.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan's in it, dude.
They capitalized on the whole apocalypse vibe in New York right now, and they have actors dressed up as walkers roaming through New York City right now to promote Dead City.
That's pretty. That's a pretty good idea. Speaking of the effects stuff again, real quick, Phil Tippett. Just as a reminder, I mean, everyone's heard the name, and we did an episode on Mad God, which was his long.
It's the best
gestating passion project. Definitely recommend it. I don't know if it's still on Shudder. Obviously, it's not a straight ahead movie with a narrative form like you're used to. Like these, it's stop motion animation. The majority of the way, almost entirely stop motion animation. But I mean, this guy's filmography. You got the original Star Wars trilogy. I'm hitting the highlights: Temple of Doom, Howard the Duck. I mentioned that too because that has a fucking crazy ass fucking monster thing in it. And besides all the other practical effects, RoboCop, Willow, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, RoboCop 2, that's fucking Kane,
yep.
Jurassic Park, yep. Dragonheart, which is Jorge's favorite film.
I do love that movie.
Evolution.
Sean Connery as a dragon, oh, yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
And then up to modern stuff like Jurassic World. No, but the effects are the effects. Force Awakens. But yeah, I mean, when you look at his work with RoboCop, Starship Troopers, Empire Strikes Back, like he designed the elephant walkers and shit, like that's fucking, that's crazy.
Yep.
The Ed 209, that's him. The way these creatures look, like it's just, when we say visual effects, it kind of like doesn't do it justice because he designed those fucking things. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's so much of it, just the monster side, and then even like the video commercials, which is hilarious how brutal they are. And this is like being broadcasted on the internet or television, like showing like the Whiskey Outpost and seeing all the corpses everywhere. They're brutal.
And it was Mormon extremists.
Yeah, that's right.
Love it, dude.
Oh my god!
Again, let's go with the fascist.
But in high school, you were a bit like.
And the high school, I was like, what the fuck? But I was already rebelling, so I was like, yeah, but now I'm like, Verhoeven, like, you get him, dude. Like,
Rhett's over here like,
well, I saw it with Adam, dude, and he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, yeah, all right, dude. They don't like us, man. He's all, why is it fucking warm? And they straight up, to production design, they have like the fucking dude with the trumpet. They got Moroni.
Yep, they got it up there.
They got all the shit. They put it in there. Like, yeah. It's a labor of love to fucking trash the Mormons right there.
Which hasn't been done too often. Like,
no, that's what I mean.
I think like as a direct assault on the Mormons, this is one of the few.
So many things that shouldn't and usually don't exist in a mainstream high budget film. $100 million budget, like, and they're going to let him trash a fucking religion in it. Like, whoa, that's
like a whole ass religion, not even a little bit, but like the whole thing.
Yeah. And then there was another scene with Crime and Punishment, right? Like there has a guy who commits a crime, gets arrested, gets sentenced, and gets executed in the same day. And they televise the execution, it says.
Yeah.
You know, so this, again, it's the fucking, the utopia people are looking for.
You know, he did that there, RoboCop, you know, a little bit, and hints of it in Total Recall. Right. Was this his last science, like hard science fiction movie?
Hollow Man.
Hollow Man, wow.
Yeah. after this, it was Hollow Man, and that's like, that's an unfortunate film to me, but.
Yeah. So, he's returning to his provocative work right now, currently.
Benedetta.
Yeah, and in L, I think, or Ellie. That was great.
I haven't seen that one.
Really good. Yeah. Would you like to see him kind of return to sci-fi and see what he has?
I mean, that's the thing. I'd like to, you know, because besides making great satires and then being subversive, he's also made some of the best sci-fi action movies ever.
Yeah.
Just straight ahead sci-fi action. Mm-hmm. This is one of them, you know, like, and it's one of them a decade late too, because this feels like an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Except for the.
It's either a decade late or a decade early. I can't quite tell where I'm at. Yeah.
As far as like it belongs, it's 97 and it's like the hard R-rated sci-fi action.
It was too early for like Gulf War shit, and it was too late for fucking like
the hard R-rated sci-fi action
post 9/11. Like,
because people wanted Independence Day that came out a year before. You know what I mean? And that's literal jingoism, like Welcome to Earth, and like the President of the United States. And it's called Independence Day.
Yeah.
Like, that has fucking anything to do with alien invasion. Like, it's fucking crazy.
True.
Yeah, and you got some fucking crazy autistic dude who saves the day at the end to redeem himself because he's a shitty father, you know?
Well, this is weird for me to say, but we've had now 4 movies that we've been pretty positive on in a row. What are we doing here?
Well,
what's going on?
I think, well, you don't, traveler, you need not search too far.
Yeah, I know.
We haven't done many new things because we're waiting. We're waiting for the new stuff. That's what it is.
Maybe we, you know.
We're not intentionally picking older movies that we know suck.
That are terrible. Yeah, because look, I think Starship Troopers, I don't want to say masterpiece because it's not there. But.
As a satire,
it's pretty fucking close to genius level satire filmmaking. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing with your fucking life?
And if you haven't seen it, like, I think people would be able to immediately realize it's obviously satirical now. I think that we're living in an era and a time, you know, almost 30 years from where it came out.
Everything they asked, and they indicted me.
Yeah, yeah. And post everything. I was about to say post one incident. Post all of it. Like, you guys get it. You'll get it now. But it's on Netflix.
It is.
I almost paid for this, and then I saw that it was on Netflix.
I think it's even at the 4K transfer. It looks really good.
Yeah. Oh, the big bug scene where he's fucking taking down the big bug.
Such a good scene.
The blood. What other monster movie does this blood color remind you of?
The orange blood?
Tremors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice vibrant orange.
It's that vibrant and fucking orange.
And going back to what you're saying, that was a fantastic mix of CGI to practical. CGI.
Yep.
And him just like jumping on this giant like mechanical bull when it comes to the practical and him riding it. It's great.
Yeah. Yep. It looks fucking, I don't want to say seamless, but it looks better than all CGI in 2023, definitely.
Anything Marvel, that's for sure.
Fucking, why you gotta talk about Marvel, dude? You know what doesn't look better than, though?
Pandora.
The one true JC.
Yeah, it's true.
JC's Starship Troopers Redux.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of CGI, though, that was kind of better than this, though, for its time. At the time,
I don't, you know what? I think you're fair.
We're talking about bugs, dude? So
this is Way of Water.
The Lost World came out that year.
Wild Wild West.
Damn.
God, dude, that was so bad. That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in the theater.
It was, dude.
It really was. But CGI,
especially when I was heartbroken.
You were, huh?
It was.
How long had you been together? Like 3 months?
Like, no, dude, days. It was fucking days, brother. Come on now.
God damn. And that movie made you feel better?
No, it made me feel worse. Oh. Yeah.
Made you feel worse about life in general.
Yeah, just I'm like, fuck, dude, I got broken up with and I watched fucking Wild Wild West.
Well, just to put it in perspective, it would be another 2 years of hype before we would really get our hopes deflated with episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
True.
Yeah. We didn't know what we had.
We didn't know what we had.
The future, it was... people look at 9/11 as the turning point. That wasn't it. The turning point was episode one. That's when it all... Like, by the time 9/11 happened, I was already fucking like, yeah, well, the worst thing's already happened. No. No, but... and then Spider-Man 3. And those are
best movie.
It's episode one, 9/11, Spider-Man 3. Three biggest tragedies.
What you're saying is 9/11 caused Spider-Man 3.
Basically.
Okay, cool. All right, idiots. Well, that's the Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 385. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
Hey.
Hi, Sophia. We don't do that anymore, dude.
I got
to
do it.
You have to? That's fine.
Well, I want to do it.
Hi, Sophia.
I don't have to. I don't want her to think I have to do it.
Well, hi, then, Sophia. Hi, Courtney, and hi, Ronnie. We're doing it all together.
Next, and hi, Northern California Michelangelo. Next week is a king pick for a 1954 giant bug movie.
It's Them.
It's called Them. And you should check out the trailer on YouTube because... It's
crazy.
It's fucking dope.
Double feature, that and Oppenheimer.
Oh my, isn't it perfect, dude? Hopefully they come, like, when that episode comes out, it'll be around the same time.
There you go.
Yeah, we got some fucking 1950s... Fallout shit going on. It's going to be dope.
Dope.
All right.
All right. Bye.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.